Welcome to our podcast. This is Friends on Fire.
I'm Mike. I'm a lifelong devotee of financial independence. I even wrote a book about it.
And I'm Maggie, a newer convert, but just as passionate, especially on the intersection of minimalism and financial independence. We're one and the
same. We are two like-minded friends who believe that talking about money with your friends and family opens the door to financial well-being.
The Friends on Fire podcast is about dispelling myths, building financial acumen, and sharing your financial independence journey with the people you care about.
This is Friends on Fire.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Maggie.
What's going on?
Oh, you know, the usual. I feel like we need to mix up the way we address each other at the start of our shows.
You don't like my what's going on?
Yeah, well, I don't.
You know what?
I mean, like, what level of detail are you looking for from me in my life?
Of what's going on? You know, it's like a what's up. It makes me think of Matthew McConaughey in, is it Dazed and Confused? Where he's like, all right, all right. Like, for some reason, the way I say it, I'm like, what's going on?
That's also what I thought about, too.
Okay. Well, when you get back to me with your list of suggested opening lines that we can use instead.
Will do.
I always think of when I'm at, you got me off on a random aside now. You know, when you're like at a party's the wrong word because I'm old now and I don't really go to parties per se, but like when you're at a new social gathering and you are meeting new people and you have to like make small talk and ask questions. I once heard this talk. Yeah, I can see the look on your face where you're like, where is this going?
Well, no, it's just because like when you said a gathering with lots of people and making small talk, I actually got the chills.
Yeah, I know. Well, you get like the COVID chills and I get like my just like social anxiety chills all at once.
Oh yeah, it's terrible. I never want to be with groups of people ever again.
Multiple chills. But you know what I mean? Okay, so there's this thing where like, I heard someone talk about this years ago and it always stuck in my mind. Not who or what they were talking about, but just this one point of when you meet someone and the first thing they ask you is what you do. I'm very turned off by that question. I'm like, why does it matter where I work or how I make money? You know, like, I think she was like, you know, why don't people ask something like, what are you passionate about? Or like, tell me something interesting about yourself. Like, she was committed to never again having the first thing she says to someone be like, hey, you know, hey, I'm Maggie. I'm Maggie. Cool. Oh, what do you do for a living? You know, like, what a terrible opening question to have to, like, you know, frame up someone's identity based on. I don't even remember what got me started on this point, Mike. This is how my brain works some days.
Yes, I'm not sure either, but I'm also passionate about this because it's a symptom of kind of the weird cultural importance we put on people's paychecks and how people associate their self-worth with their profession. Sometimes I will ask people what they do professionally. I always say, what do you do professionally? I don't say like, what do you do? Or like, where do you work? But I never start out conversations with it. And also, like when people ask me, I'm like, I work in corporate finance. And that kills the conversation
it
immediately.
Shuts it down. They're like,
nobody
no more
wants
questions.
To care anymore. Yeah. I never have to talk about it.
Yeah.
Usually people are not poking me about.
Yeah. Oh, tell me more about corporate finance.
Yeah.
That's funny. Okay. This started because we were talking about new open liners, mm-hmm. opening liners. Okay. So we have a different episode today, though. Right.
Yes.
It's not just me rambling about random stories, which would be a fun episode sometime.
Sort of related to what we do professionally.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. It's all tying in.
Oh, yeah. It's like we planned this. I will go back and edit this to make sure it sounds a lot
better. It all comes together in some sort of a weird way.
So we got invited to one of our employee resource groups, this one called Lean In, to give a talk about personal finance. And we've done this a few times with our colleagues. And
it's our favorite thing to do at work.
It's our favorite thing to do. I like to think that people also enjoy it. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't keep asking us to come speak at different groups. Or maybe people just haven't heard our previous speeches from other groups. But anyway, we got invited to go speak to Lean In. And Lean In, I believe, is based off of Sheryl Sandberg's book of the same title.
Yeah, but you know, it's a women's group at our company, and many companies have an employee resource group that is a Lean In group based on, again, the popularity of Sheryl Sandberg's book from many, many years ago. She wrote that book. Oh, I just looked it up in 2013, almost a decade ago.
Feels ancient.
Yeah, so we happen to be talking to a lot of women, though everything we were talking about applies to everyone.
And so what we did was even a little bit different than what our normal corporate talks are, where we do a lot more Q&A. In this conversation with this employee resource group, we actually did kind of a podcast episode that we recorded live, which I thought was pretty fun.
Yeah, it's fine. It was your idea, Mike. Good idea. Well, thank you. At first, I was like, I don't know about this. But then I was like,
you were skeptical. I could tell.
You got some good ideas.
But I also didn't want to speak for an hour and not have that count as an episode. I wanted to make sure we get some.
I like your efficiency, your focus on multi-uses from things.
So instead of continuing talking right now, Maggie, we're going to just cut to about a half hour of this talk we gave to our employee resource group.
Yeah, and it was on financial wellness, just to intro it.
Yeah.
So take it away. Can you put in that sound? Just leave me doing the sound effect. You don't need sound effects. You got me.
All right. And cutting now. So I thought it would be interesting to talk about how Maggie and I met and how we started talking about money and started this podcast. And then we would get into a live podcast for you guys. And we've prepared some notes and what we think would be interesting and useful for you. So Maggie, do you want to tell the story about how we met? Because I think you initiated it.
I think I have the worst memory ever, but yeah. So Mike and I met at work, which is part of the spirit of what I started this whole idea for the podcast. But we met at work. I actually interviewed Mike for his role because I was one of many of his marketing business partners that he would have been the finance business partner to. And we eventually started working together. So again, he was my finance business partner. Every time I needed something money related at work, I would have to work through Mike. And as a result, I started asking him some personal finance questions because that's what you should do anytime with your finance business partner at work. And we slowly started realizing it was a topic that he was really passionate about and we both enjoyed talking about it. And so we would continue to just have conversations about our own personal financial goals and interests and other things. And I learned he was writing this book, which he had since kind of written and published. And so we just kind of learned of this shared passion. But also, I personally really learned the value in talking to your friends about money, because quite honestly, I hadn't done a lot of it. I didn't have a lot of friends that wanted to talk about money. It's kind of a taboo topic, so I wasn't necessarily going to bring it up. And I just started realizing these amazing benefits from the conversations that Mike and I would have. And Mike was like, we should do a project together related to this. And we'd kind of bounced around a few things. And then, the idea of a podcast came up. And turns out it's not that difficult to start a podcast. So we started one.
And Maggie, you actually requested my help on your personal income taxes when I first started. And
I did. To be clear,
that's that's not the type of finance work that I was doing, but I'm happy to help.
I didn't ask you to do my taxes, but I was asking for his advice on something related to taxes. And he was a wealth of knowledge. And I was like, wait a minute, you have more information you want to impart upon me?
So today, we're going to be taking you through some tips about financial wellness. And when I saw the title of this meeting, Maggie and I were talking, and so the way that we think this is going to be most helpful is to frame this up through the lens of physical wellness, something that I think everybody knows quite a bit about. Probably most, if not all, have participated in some sort of physical wellness activity. And so you understand the thought process behind it. And then we'll take you through some tips and then, feel free to ask questions at the end of it. So this is going to be the first time we're doing a live style podcast. So I hope it goes okay for you guys. Yeah. So if you haven't heard our show, you will now hear what it's like.
But yeah, to Mike's point, I think there's some really interesting tie-ins between the concept of financial wellness that we use that term a lot, and the idea of physical wellness, which everybody is already familiar with and often just wouldn't think of comparing the concept of wellness into your finances also. But physical wellness means your body's working efficiently. It means you can exercise and you've got movement in your life and you enjoy those activities. You're not chronically sick or getting sick from things that are related to a lack of movement or a lack of, physical wellness. You're hopefully not in pain, right? And normal activities don't cause pain. Ironically, I'm having some lower back issues lately. And it makes me think of it. I don't spend enough time. I work out a lot, but I don't stretch and do enough core stuff. And it's a really good example here of kind of where, you do have to put energy into your physical wellness and also your financial wellness. You know, are you able to recover from injuries or, you know, sicknesses that you get when you do get injured? Are you able to recover as quickly? And if you are in good physical condition, you are able to recover a lot faster when you do have an injury. And then also the same concept of like having an accountability partner with your physical fitness can really help. Like having somebody that you go and run with or that you go and work out with can help you through those tough workouts. And ultimately, physical fitness and physical wellness, it helps you to live a longer and happier life. And we could say all the same things around financial wellness. So I'll turn it over to Mike to kind of bring it home on the concept of the connection between the two.
If we think about all the bullets that Maggie just read off, you can just replace physical for financial and kind of get the same result. The management of financial resources operates efficiently in your life. You can spend money on things that you need to live that make you happy. You aren't under a mountain of unmanageable debt, and surprise expenses don't create hardship. Losing your job or needing to support a family doesn't ruin you financially. And when you do lose income or you have those new expenses, you can rebound quickly and return to your path. So in the same way that you can operate your body efficiently and rebound from injuries, the same applies to your life as it relates to money. And having an accountability partner will help you reach those goals. And that's kind of the principle of the podcast and what Maggie and I talk a lot about, is talking about these things and working on these things with other people helps you do better. And then lastly, the same end goal, financial well-being, is about living a long, happy life. And so we think that you should be putting as much energy into your financial wellness as your physical wellness and mental wellness for that matter. Like, there's all types of wellnesses that you should really be focusing on. And this is the one that I think people are the most intimidated by because it appears hard or complicated at first, but as you get into it, it becomes a lot more manageable and clear.
Yeah. And it I'd say also it becomes a little addictive, right? As you learn more and want to do more and realize things you can do to improve, it becomes something that you are, you know, more and more motivated, and there's some kind of compound benefits to it. So let's kind of shift to like how you get there, right? How do you get into a position where you feel like you are financially fit and you have the, you know, financial wellness you want in your life? So we've narrowed this down to 8 quick pieces of kind of tidbits of advice for what we think is important to getting to financial wellness. And we're going to start there. And then again, we'll open it up for questions. But we wanted to kind of start with some foundations, but also keep in mind, just like the tie into physical wellness, this is a journey, right? So don't get intimidated by this list and think, oh my God, I'm not doing any of these things. Like, where do I begin? Right? Think about it like, you know, physical wellness. Like, you don't start running a marathon. To be clear, I've never run a marathon and I don't really ever plan to. So maybe that's not the best comparison. But you don't go out, even if you're just starting to run, you don't go out your first day and run 3 miles, right? You go out and you start small and you build momentum and you build progress, right? And so, and it takes time and it's a journey and you slowly get better at it. And so we're going to go through this kind of quick 8 list, 8 tips, but don't get overwhelmed by the list if you're not doing any of these things today, right? And so let's just jump in. Our first one is just create a goal. Right. So work, if you're a single person by yourself, this is going to be a solo process, though you might want to involve friends in that discussion. If you know other people going through this, you certainly could make it kind of a group activity. If you're married in a serious relationship, anything like that, if you have kids that are old enough to be a part of this discussion, make it a group effort. Right. And really think about what your end goal is and what you want your life to look like. Right. What do you want to be doing? How long do you want to be working? What do you want your retirement to look like? What's important to you, right? What is, like, for me right now, I've got, you know, 10 more years with kids in my household that are slowly not even wanting to deal with me anymore because they're slowly turning into teenagers. And that's important to me, right? Like, I want time with them when they're going to be, you know, in my house for the next 10 years. And I can't get that back, right? I can't do that 10 years. I can't do that, you know, in 15 years. I've got 10 years to do it. And so that plays a lot into like what my short-term goals are. And so just think about what's important to you at this point in your life. And as you think about some kind of stages down the line financially and understanding kind of your why and your end goal is often kind of the first starting point that we talk to everybody about. And that can be the most important point.
And one of the things that I think about often and talk about with people as it relates to life goals is something that all kids in school do, and you probably remember doing yourself. You know, you were asked, you know, if money wasn't important, what would you want to do? Or what's your dream career going to look like? And when you're growing up, it's a little bit hard to make those sorts of connections. And helping you pursue your passions might not be the best career choice and might not generate the type of returns you need to live your lifestyle. And so for a time, you know, that might not be the best thought exercise. But once you get into your career and once you get older, like, this becomes even more valuable. So ask yourself, if you didn't need any money, what is it you'd want to be doing with your life? And think really hard about that. And then start working towards that. And if you can get yourself to the point where you actually don't need any money, you can start doing those things and lead a very rich and fulfilling life. Now, the second point on our list, and this one's really important, and on a lot of these, we have full episodes that we've covered on, so we can send out some of the links if you're interested in a little bit deeper dive. But number two is going to be develop a net worth mindset. And net worth is the value of all of your assets less all of your liabilities. So if you have a $500,000 home and you owe $400,000 on your mortgage, the net value of that asset is $100,000. So this plus your 401k, plus your cash, plus your car, all of this stuff equals your net worth. And a net worth mindset means that as you are making decisions about your money, you are focusing on what grows that number the most. So if we think about a 401k versus taking cash in your paycheck, if you wanted to contribute $10,000 to your 401k and you would get a match from the company, so let's say you put in $11,000 into your 401k. If you were to just take that $10,000 in your paycheck, you would get like $7,000 in cash. And so the difference, when you look at it from a net worth perspective, is $11,000 versus $7,000. You would make the decision to defer the taxes, put it into your retirement savings, because that's what grows your number the fastest, instead of looking at it as a cash flow perspective to pay your bills. And so developing this mindset on what grows you the fastest is going to help you in evaluating all of the sometimes complicated decisions that are going to come when it relates to spending and saving.
Cool. Yeah. I think, you know, net worth is one of the most important things, right? And again, it's tracking it. So you might be negative now, but that's okay, right? You, in terms of what your net worth is, if you have more debt than you have assets, but don't let that get you down. It's the idea of measuring things and right and understanding where you're at and the progress you're making over time. In the same vein, our third item is tracking your expenses and knowing what it costs you to live in a year. So that episode that Carmen was talking about was actually us bringing our spouses on and talking about what it costs us to live for a half a year, for the first half of 2021. We did like a pretty detailed expense breakdown because it's interesting to hear it and to A, to just know it for yourself, but then B, to start to compare it to other people. And again, not from a like good, bad, but just from a understanding kind of where you're at and where there could be, you know, learnings and ideas and opportunities. And so track your expenses and then, depending on your goals, which ours are often to get our living expenses as low as possible while still remaining happy and focusing on the things that matter to us, work hard to reduce them in the areas that don't matter, right? So we did a whole early on episode on like cell phones and your TV, your internet plan and things like that, right? So this is an area where you work hard to reduce your expenses in an area that doesn't impact your happiness. You know, my husband's, we always joke about this on the show all the time. My husband's cell phone bill used to be like $80 or $90. And when Mike and I would sometimes review our expenses just for fun, that's our idea of fun. And he would constantly look at it and say, you know, why are you spending so much on that? You could have a plan for $30. And that doesn't change. Like, so in the end, my husband was able to change his cell phone plan and get the same quality and the same company and everything else of service. And so that's an example of like, that did not change his happiness at all, right? He still has the same phone. He still has the same general coverage, and he was able to do it at a third of the price. And so those are examples of like really work to, you got to know your expenses and actually track them. And then you've got to work to actually reduce them. So that's another big focus that kind of goes along with knowing your net worth.
And then one of the most important things perhaps the most important thing when it comes to controlling your expenses is related to impressing other people with the things you buy. And so our fourth piece of advice is stop caring so much about what people think. And one of my favorite episodes that we did, we dug into this, and the key takeaway was that people are too busy worrying about themselves to really care about you or what you wear or what you drive. And if you can become comfortable with the fact that everybody's too busy and not worrying about you, and you're going to do what you want and not spend money to impress other people, your expenses are going to fall off a cliff. And whether you realize it or not, a lot of the decisions that people make, whether it's about the stores you shop at, the car you drive, the type of vacations you go on, are based on what you think other people are going to think about those behaviors. And so we have another running joke, and people who know me know I drive a 2003 Ford Explorer, cloth interior, two-wheel drive. Like, it's a piece of junk, but it runs really well. And like, I genuinely do not care what people think about it. And I'm actually quite proud of the fact that I drive this thing around and it's still running. I would love to drive this for another 20 years. But not needing to buy a car or not needing to buy, you know, certain clothes or go certain places will cut just an immense amount of expense out of your life. And we would argue actually make you a lot happier.
I'm putting the links to the detailed episodes, by the way, for those who do want to dig into any of these. But that is one thing that I will say, Mike, we talk about this a lot. He is immensely better at not caring what other people think than I even am. Like, I'm pretty good at it. I don't care in a lot of categories, but I do still, there's a lot of things where I do still care, and I catch myself, you know, the thoughts I'll have and really like asking myself honestly, you know, why I want something or why I'm doing something. And if it's for me or if it's for something that is related to outward appearances or what I think I should have or how I think I should portray myself in society. And I, you know, one of the biggest things to help your financial wellness is to quit, like to have that realization that people like to just quit caring, but then also to realize that most people, like Mike says, are too busy worrying about themselves to really care about you or what you're driving or anything else. And if they do care, it might not be the person that you really want to be, you know, shaping your life and your decisions on anyways. Okay. So the next one is learn to manage your money yourself. And do not outsource it to someone else to manage until you're really confident in the ability to make those decisions yourself. So if at some point in your life you do need to outsource it and there's, you know, the right reasons for it, that's great. But for most people, what they actually need to do, for the average person, what they need to do to manage their money, it takes a little bit of upfront investment and some learning and education, but it literally could be reading one book or listening to a couple of podcasts. For you to know what you need to do, versus some people think, and I thought this for a long time, that they need to hire a financial planner who takes a percentage of everything you have, everything you're investing, and doesn't really do much, right? And there's tons of research around how the overall stock market performance and basic index funds will outperform a professional financial planner or investor could do on your behalf. And we do, I'm so passionate about this. We have a whole episode that we do just on why you don't need a financial planner. And I am a self-professed previous, spent 10 years thinking I needed a financial planner and on a search for the right one that was going to just, you know, do all the things I needed to do. When it turns out all the things I needed to do, I could learn from Mike in a 20-minute conversation. It's maybe not quite that simple, but it's pretty simple. And so that's our big point there.
And it's also important to note that there are billions of dollars being funneled into advertising to convince you that this stuff is really complicated and that not only do you need to spend money on all this stuff, but then you need help managing your debt and all of your expenses because of it. And if you can simplify your life and get some foundational knowledge, this opens up, becomes a lot simpler, and you can not just manage it effectively, but succeed at it. The next item is going to be a pretty simple one, straightforward. have an emergency fund of at least 6 months of living expenses. Now, over time, you will be able to generate more assets, and you might go from 6 months to 6 years, and then eventually 60 years when you're ready to retire and you have passive income and retirement savings and all this sort of stuff. But at the very least, you need to have enough cash that can cover you through COVID-related stuff. I think we all saw what can happen to all industries when, you know, catastrophe strikes. And so in addition to developing a net worth mindset and controlling your expenses and investing and doing all of these things, just making sure that you have enough cash on hand to help you through a slow period or a period without income is going to make all of the difference in your life if something bad happens.
Okay, the next one is a good one since we all work at the same company and we mostly have all of the same benefits available to us, but it's to max out the tools that are available to you before you are spending on other, what I would call discretionary stuff, right? So an example are things like your 401k, your HSA, which is a health savings account, which is only eligible if you have a high deductible medical plan, which I do as an example. Try to pay down your mortgage faster, especially depending on the interest rate. Though we're pro pay off your mortgage regardless, because it opens up a world of possibilities in terms of just not having that debt hanging over your head and knowing that you've always got a place to live in, regardless of what might happen with your job. And then just eliminating all other debt, you know, outside of your mortgage, right? And so really thinking about maxing out those tools, which is a mix of paying off debt and then leveraging investment tools that are that have, you know, very positive tax benefits, like your 401k and your HSA. So we're big proponents on maxing out your 401k if you can afford it. And if you think for some reason I can't afford to do that, I'm living paycheck to paycheck, whatever it is, that's when we'd say, like, track your expenses, really think about what you can afford and what you can't afford, because the earlier you max out things like your 401k, just the compound interest and benefit over time, the younger you do it, is so much better. Like, for example, I never maxed out my 401k when I was in my, you know, early 20s, maybe even early 30s, actually. I just didn't even realize it was such an amazing tool. I always did the company match, but I wasn't maxing it out. And had I done that then, the amount, I would just have a massive amount more, because I would have had all the compound interest from, you know, a decade plus growing over time. Those are things that we highly recommend and are what we can kind of consider foundational, like where you should start.
And when it comes to company benefits, this is a great opportunity to start talking to your colleagues about this and your friends at work. We have a great compensation and rewards team that has resources and knowledge that can help you with this. There are people at the company who understand this stuff very well. So if you are intimidated by any of the benefits, for example, that are available to you, consider reaching out and asking for help. And our last point is that with all of these things, you should review your progress regularly, and this will help you build momentum, but also pivot when needed. And when it comes to momentum, you know, you might only be growing your net worth by $100 a month, and maybe that seems a little discouraging, but it will grow quickly, and the more attention you put on this, the better you will do. And it will start at 100 and then 1,000 and then 10,000 and then 100,000. And then later in your life, you will be looking at millions of dollars. But if you don't start now with that $100, you're never going to build up enough momentum to get to that point. And then when it comes to pivoting, there's going to be things that change in your life. You might not be planning on kids, and then you have kids. Or you might not be planning on having more kids, but you have more kids. Or you switch jobs, or you move to a different country. And all of these things are going to impact your personal finances. And if you are not reviewing your net worth and your expenses on a regular basis, and seeing how those life changes change the numbers, you won't be able to pivot and keep up your progress. So those are our 8 tips, which hopefully give you kind of some nuggets of information to take away. The way we wrap up all of our episodes is 3 key takeaways. And so even though we did 8 key takeaways, we are going to do 3 more takeaways to summarize this, and then we will open up for questions.
Yeah, we'll take the 8 and narrow it down to 3. without repeating the eight. Really, it's just the idea that financial wellness is so similar to physical wellness, and that it is this constant journey of self-improvement that we are all on in different ways, and we're all at different points in our journey, and we can all learn from each other in that journey.
And number two, spend some time getting close to the details of your personal finances and learn how to manage them effectively. It's going to be the highest paying job you have your entire life if you can understand how this works and make good decisions.
Then the last point is just, you know, you need a powerful goal, right? A big audacious goal, whatever you want to call it, that keeps you motivated. And you need accountability partners because they can help. And that's why we named our podcast Friends on Fire. Fire stands for financial independence, retire early. But the friends part was, we think we personally found there was so much value in talking to your friends about this. And it was making both of us better. And Mike, I used to often think Mike couldn't get any better from a financial perspective, but he'll admit there are things I have taught him also. I don't know if he'll admit it right now, but he probably will.
No, it's true.
So, but just the idea of, you know, having that big goal having an accountability partner can really help, because when you have those things kind of in tandem, they can give you a ton of momentum.
Well, thank you for having us. This was really fun. I hope it was helpful. We really enjoy this. We like helping people. If you have questions afterwards, please reach out to us. We will talk about this forever.
Yeah, we love. There's nothing we'd rather do during our lunch hour than talk about this.
Thanks. Have a great day. All right, so that was our talk to the Lean In Employee Resource Group at our company, and hopefully you guys found it interesting as a first ever live podcast.
Yeah, I like the financial wellness connection, you know, mm-hmm. between your physical wellness and your financial wellness. I think we've made that connection every now and then, though maybe in not as kind of focused of a way as we did in that discussion.
All right, so let's wrap this episode up, Maggie.
If you have been challenged or inspired by what you have heard today on financial and physical wellness, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. We love particularly a written review. Really helps us if you're feeling particularly generous today. You can also subscribe to make sure that you never miss an episode. If you have any thoughts or questions, we also would love to hear from you, and you can leave us a voicemail or text us at 404-981-3370, or you can always hit us up on Instagram.
All right. Thanks, Maggie.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. Bye.
Bye.